we are the ASM Behind the Scenes podcast. My name is Jin Yao.
I'm Ximena.
And I'm Sergio. We're three seniors at ASM.
In this podcast, we will explore the lives of upper school staff members and alumni with the hopes of bringing you fun stories about high school, college, and life in general.
We'll be releasing an episode every week on Fridays.
If you have any cool ideas for future episodes, feel free to email s23142@asmadrid.es. But before further ado, let's get into it. What's up, guys? Today we have Mr. Fonquinos today, who is a teacher that teaches a variety of classes here at ASM. Thank you so much for coming today. Now, first of all, could you explain a little what you do and what classes you actually teach?
The classes that I actually teach, are sociology, TOK, theory of knowledge, and filmmaking, all, of course, in the upper school.
Perfect. Thank you.
Interesting. So our first question is, what is your best high school or college memory?
Well, let's see. University, I did not enjoy my university engineering. So I basically remember months and years of torture-like existence. That was my engineering. And then the sun shone when I started doing my music and film studies in master's and so forth. So that was a big change. Nice. High school, I still am the only IB diploma teacher holder who's a teacher at the school. Wow. I did. So I remember TOK just being, just talking and not really doing anything. Structured like now. We had to write, yes, an essay. Mm-hmm. I remember my extended essay being very interesting on anthropology. I took IB anthropology, which the school offered. And I remember high school being easy and regretting that I didn't work harder and do more. Mm. No.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. What about, so college, did you find that you kind of felt more structured in a sense?
University was a, we call it university, I went to university in Venezuela, it was a cold splash of water on my face. It was a big change. I went from the bubble of a school very much like this, which is Latin American high school in Caracas, to a public university in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. Completely different social circle, completely different social situations that kids were coming from, kids that didn't know how their parents were going to feed them, you know, in the month, because it was, they were really in dire circumstances. It was a truly public university. It was a great university. And so then that was a big shocker, the social aspect. And then the fact that now you really, really had to study. Mm-hmm. I couldn't just coast by, you know, my natural student abilities.
Yeah.
And I was failing classes for the first time. Mm-hmm. I took a class 6 times.
Oh, yeah.
Mechanics 1, I remember. That was the filter class. Mm-hmm. But I finally got through it.
Yeah,
a lot of stories there.
And do you wish you had discovered music or filmmaking earlier, or are you thankful for the struggles?
That's a really good question. You know, I'm ambivalent about that. I've always been asked that, and I've always wondered that. There's a good aspect to having the engineering. I have an engineering degree. I've never really used it, just a little bit. I did work very briefly as an engineer for about a year, but I can't say that hasn't contributed to who I am. So I would never know what person I would be had I not had that. Mm-hmm. But would I have liked to discover my true passion earlier and pursue it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you mentioned how you had an engineer degree. Now you didn't really like getting it that much, as I heard. So why did you choose it in the first place?
Oh, no, I like getting it. The part like I liked more about engineering was ending it.
Okay, yeah, I see.
I didn't like doing it.
Okay.
It wasn't for me. It just wasn't for me. I was moderately good at physics and math in high school. I wasn't a whiz by any means, but I was pretty good. And this and in Caracas, there was an excellent, like, you know, almost universally recognized top engineering school. And so then, you know, they said that my father kind of pushed me and said, you know, why don't you do this? You'll always get a job. I didn't really have a passion at the time. Music came later. Mm-hmm. The passion to do that. And so I said, you know, I kind of. Like process elimination, sure, let's do it. But that's not a good reason to do engineering. Mm-hmm. That may be other, but engineering is very, very demanding. You have to at least like it, I think, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like when you said that you failed a lot of classes and you had to repeat it 6 times, I feel like that's a very like universal college experience that a lot of people have. And I think it's interesting for the listeners who are seniors and are going to go to college next year to know, like, that it's okay if that happens,
it's a really good point.
It's
and I think it happens more outside of the U.S. And U.S. is not a failing culture in terms of high school and universities. It's just different. It's not better or worse. It's just different. Mm-hmm. But it does happen outside of the U.S. In Spain, and you know, failing a class is, I would say, par for the course at least once in university. Maybe not six times, but at least once. No, actually, it was five times. I passed it on the sixth time. Man, that was really hard. And so, yeah. And also what happens in universities, like engineering and medicine especially, there are filtered classes. Like in medicine, it's anatomy. It's extremely hard because it separates those who will become doctors from those who think they will become doctors. No, and same thing with engineering. It's very scary. It is. And in the end, it's okay. Whether you make it or not, it's okay. You just learned that it wasn't for you. That's fine. And it's not that it's not the end of the world. It's actually a really good thing.
Yeah, it's really interesting how you say that, because it's like it's especially good for the listeners
for both
who are seniors.
Whether you end up doing something else or not, both are fine.
Yeah, and so then how did you kind of start finding your passion for music, and how did you get more into that?
I had always done music privately with private piano teachers. Now I was at a point in my life during my end of high school years and beginning university years where I was with a private piano teacher, but he was more of a composer and an excellent jazz pianist. And he very much got me into, well, I just learned composition from him. And I didn't even know that that was like an option for me. I would just, well, you can be a lawyer, you can be a doctor, you can be an engineer, and you can be a, you know.
The typical.
Yeah, the typical. Those are, you know. And, but composer? Really? I can do this? And so then he started, you know, guiding me. And he was like my mentor in that sense. And I started just to love it. And I remember living in those dark years of engineering when I did not, I really despised what I was doing. I look to that like 1 hour a day of music classes. I really enjoy it.
Okay, so now it's time for our surprise question.
Oh boy.
So it's not that bad.
I don't have any money on me.
So it is, do you think you're clever?
Yes. Next.
Short answer.
Elaborate.
I can't imagine someone saying no. I can't imagine anyone, really, anyone in any stratus of society or anyone saying no to that question. We're all clever in our own way. I think I have certain things in which I'm more clever than others. There's, you know, emotional intelligence, I'm okay, but then, you know, academic intelligence, I'm a little bit better, I think. Clever is, how do we define clever? Would you like to define it, or should I define it?
You can define it however you want.
Yeah, put all the work on me. Yes, I think I'm clever because I can quickly come up with solutions to everyday problems. From hamburger or pizza, that's a solution, and I can quickly decide, to, you know, how to, you know, basic troubleshooting. So I think that I'm pretty good at it.
You would choose hamburger, no?
I'm trying to get off meat, man. I'm trying to. I saw this amazing film on Netflix now about plant-based diets and how the strongest people in the world and the most enduring people are all going plant-based. It's a myth that you need to get all your protein from meats.
Oh, that's really interesting.
So I'm trying to get off meat. So right now I'm going to have to say pizza. Unless it's one of those veggie burgers.
No, I get that.
Actually, we kind of want to tell you like the background of, I don't know if you know, the surprise question is based on Oxford interview questions. So that question was actually asked in an actual Oxford interview question. So we thought it was interesting to see kind of how teachers can answer questions that students are asked and get like placed in our position in a sense.
It's interesting because people confuse cleverness or being clever with intelligent and really have nothing to do. It's not the same thing. It's different. And also with knowing. And, you know, knowing is not at all to do with being clever. So intelligence is a little bit closer, but still not. They're very different things. So you can know a lot and not really be very clever.
Okay. So now moving on to the actual podcast.
So, well, you said that you wanted to be a composer with music, and then you also study filmmaking, but now at ASM you teach filmmaking. So, like, do you still compose?
Yes, I compose my own now, much less. I was composing pretty much until the time I started my incursion here into ASM, which came through substitute teaching and so forth. That's how I got to be known here at ASM. But up until then, I had been composing for 10 or something years, you know, for various projects all over the world, with clients in Holland, in the United States, I had a lot of clients, in Spain also. And there came a time when there's a lot of instability with working as a freelance, with not having, you know, a steady paycheck every day. And I knew that I could teach, and I had done teaching in my university and courses and so forth. And I said, I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to, you know, but composition is always with me. Once I have like one or two clients a year that I work for, I still do like projects. Nothing like I used to, not at the level. and teaching consumes much of my time, and I like it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That will I eventually go back into doing more composition projects? It's possible,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah.
You know.
Maybe at ASM in the future you could start like a composition class.
I've talked about that with Mr. Weinberg, and you know, and of course Mr. Swaz was forth. The problem is it's a problem of critical mass. You need a certain amount of students to
yeah.
open up like a composition
mm-hmm.
thing. I could do an ASA, but still they're not, you know, I know that Eugene Yao composed and some people in IB Music, but it's, look at the people, it's always like two people.
Or
doing
two, yeah.
So, and of course, Dr. Salzer does a great job with you guys. So
yeah.
I think you would need more. This would almost have to become a real art school for that
yeah.
to be like a
yeah,
composition.
Yeah, for composition, yeah.
And what about filmmaking? Did you do any projects in the past, or are you doing them?
Yes,
now?
I've done short films. I've won an award for short films that I've done. I'm
yeah.
pretty very much self-taught in terms of filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say that, you know, the film is not something you should go to university. But I disagree with that. I think you can go to university for anything and get a lot of a good knowledge and a good education towards any career. But film is definitely something that you can pick up with experience. I've taken many courses on filmmaking, on writing scripts, on, you know, effective script writing, and that has helped me. But mainly self-taught. Orson Welles, who was, of course, the director of Citizen Kane and one of the most influential directors in Hollywood, and you know, from the 30s and 40s, he said that filmmaking is not a big deal. Everything you need to learn when making film, really, you can learn like in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
How to put a point of character, how to shoot, how to take it to certain shots. But the really hard thing, of course, is writing that good script that
yeah.
that reads well on paper, that gives you the basic possibility for really making a great
mm-hmm.
film. You can make a good film, great film if you have a good script. Or you can mess it up. But if you have a bad script, there's no way you can fix that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard.
Yeah, and do you find kind of like a difference between doing film and teaching film? Or maybe music? Like, do you think there's... Because you say how you kind of self-taught yourself with film. So how do you kind of apply that self-teaching in your classes to other students?
It's an interesting question. I think it translates very easily, actually, because you know there are techniques that I've learned, so I teach those techniques, and I've also tried them because I've made films, and I tried what works and what doesn't, and I teach that. I also teach this may not work. So I think the translation, especially in film, which is so hands-on,
mm-hmm.
it's less theoretical.
Yeah,
is very easy. This is what's worked for me, and so I'm going to teach it to you.
Yeah.
And also, this is what's worked for other much very famous filmmakers, and so I'll also let you know what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's so hands-on and non-theoretical, I think it translates very easily,
mm-hmm.
as music does too.
Yeah.
You don't need a license to like teach to make films or
anything. Yeah.
Let me see what you can do.
Yeah, it's just interesting how your own knowledge applies to their knowledge.
It does,
yeah.
And what are your future plans? Do you have any?
I have a lunch at 12, 30. Future plans.
Yeah.
I am very happy here at ASM. Very, very happy. My son is in fifth grade, so he'll be here for another, 7 years? And yes, and so, you know, and I would like to retire here. I'm very, very happy here. And you know, also... always curious about different fields.
Mm-hmm.
I've done stuff in business, I've done stuff in marketing, I've done stuff in, but that's for another podcast maybe. But definitely in music and filmmaking, I have projects in mind that I want to, you know,
mm-hmm.
fulfill.
Yeah.
Perfect,
yeah.
Thank you. And we're going to end it all off with last question. It's overall, what advice would you give students about life itself or just college and all that?
Do you want me to talk about how it's important to pursue your dreams? Or have you heard that enough?
Well, actually, we haven't talked about...
Every
teacher is
a different advice.
No one said pursue your dreams and don't give up on what you're passionate about?
Well,
yes, but in different ways.
Well,
yeah,
then let
like
me be the one. Look, I didn't know what my dream was or what my passion was. I wasn't aware of it. I guess my thing is know yourself. Be self-aware because that will help you in your health. When you're sick, you will know how to cure yourself. You will know what doctor to go to. Know what you're passionate about because that will direct you in life. And also, very important, know what values you have. That is the most important because when the time comes that you are going to be in trouble, and you will be in trouble socially, you will have to make very difficult decisions, is what I'm saying. The one thing that will anchor you and help you make the right decision is your values.
Mm-hmm.
What is important to you? is it important to you to care for other people and to, you know, basically be a good person and to be of service? Then that is going to guide you. Is it important of you to care for your family? Then that is going to guide you. But be very aware of that. We talk about that a little bit in school, but we don't talk about it enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Perfect.
That's a great
Thank
advice.
You so much.
Thank you.